You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
All right, good morning, everyone. 2018, the year of response. Bumper stickers coming soon. We'll put a little Streams logo on it. Why not? Every other church has a bumper sticker. We'll just have the year of response. That joke has died, hasn't it, right? Yeah, we can move on. Anybody get a Christmas card from us? If you didn't get a Christmas card, that's because you're not in our database. Because my wife and I wanted to send a Christmas card to everybody, and I had my family, my little granddaughter's over here today, and she's pressed. She's fallen asleep, which happens to most people in our services. And she just started earlier. So stop by. If you didn't get a card, we don't have your address, stuff like that. We want to keep in touch. So stop by the information table back there, and we'll get you signed up. Also, I want to make sure everybody knew that our sweet sister, Shirley Alsace, last month transitioned into her heavenly home. She's been with us for, I think, 10 years. She and John, went to be with the Lord a couple years before. And we're going to have a memorial, or celebration service, I should say, of her life. This Saturday at 11:30 right here. So if you knew Shirley, want to be a part of that, we'd love to have you come. The family would like to welcome there. I love it. I knew Shirley back in my 20s, and I love being with people who've known me for a long, long time and being in a relationship together. She loved this church. They serve this church. And so Saturday at 11:30 will be her celebration service. So some of the things I'm going to be teaching you in a new series come from Robert Morris's book and teaching called Frequency. And usually at Streams for the first couple of weeks, we do a fasting and prayer. We come together. So this year, as you can see, we've decided to go a different topic, start, and continue as a consecration to the Lord. But I know what happens when we hit a new year. It's like we have a reset. And so it's just not one area of our life. We are looking at all the areas of our life. You know, which areas should I really work on? Should it be dieting? Should it be finances? Should it be my marriage, my family? What is it, my relationships? And so there's so many places we can look to and so many voices. If you notice, there's all kinds of people now and infomercials telling you you could buy this and be healthy. And here's a place you need to go work out and pay your money there. And all these things and these voices that cloud us, we wanted you to really pray and hear God's voice about what is the one area. Why don't you be overwhelmed by 50 things? What's the one area this year that you want me to stop something, that you want me to start something, and you want me to continue something? Because they're everywhere. I've actually downloaded here some of the most crazy diets. These are actual diets that you can go on to lose weight in 2018. This one is called the baby food diet. It's designed to promote weight loss. How many say, I would lose a lot of weight if I was a baby? Yeah. You eat upwards to 16 jars of baby food per day instead of regular meals and snacks. That's a baby food diet, okay? The vision diet. I like this one. You eat everything while wearing blue tinted glasses. It's a real diet. Because the idea is that red and yellow colored foods are the most palatable. So when you see them in blue, you don't want them as much. I don't care what color it is. I'm eating brownies. But anyway, yeah. Right? The clip your nose while you eat diet. Take a little clip, you put it over your nose so you don't smell the food because it makes you want to eat it more when you smell it. This is my favorite, dessert with breakfast diet. You just load everything on the front and then you eat light later on. So everything comes in front. I call that donuts. Dessert with breakfast diet, right? This is the donut diet. There is an ice cream cleanse. Now I get your attention now. You're waking up, aren't you? You eat 5 pints of special ice cream a day. And it costs about $65 a day to be on this diet. But you'll be cleansed with ice cream. The cookie diet, you eat 6 to 9 special 80 to 90 calorie cookies per day. I like this one, the ice diet. You eat 1 liter of ice every day to lose weight. You just let it melt in your mouth instead of eating things. I said this one first service that somebody came up to me and they're a nutrition. They said, I actually know somebody that was on this diet. It's the cotton ball diet. You eat up to 5 cotton balls dipped in orange juice, lemonade, or smoothie before you eat. It sort of fills it. They call that the elf diet. If you've seen the movie Elf, it'll wait for it, it'll come. You eat the cotton balls. How many want to go on the cotton ball diet, right? No. And then last, the what would Jesus eat diet. It's an actual diet. I think you put a bracelet on it, it says WWJE, and when you pick up that, no, I should be eating that, all right? What would Jesus eat? Apparently, Jesus would eat very healthy. So these are diets, and they're everywhere. Diets are everywhere, and you have to try to figure out, well, what is the difference when we look at our life between us and between those who don't follow after Jesus Christ? The difference is this. We have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the difference. He speaks into our life. So we have the opportunity to hear the voice of God for what he wants to do with our life. And a relationship that has a two-way, includes a two-way communication. We hear God's voice. We believe that God has a plan for our life, and he desires to make it known to us. The unbeliever would gather facts and tries to make his best decision. You know, here's my pros, here's my cons. He looks at the sheet of paper, and he says, you know what, I'm going to make this decision. We may do the same thing, but at the end of that procedure, at the end of that situation, we say, God, what do you say? I know these are pros, I know these are cons, but you know what's going on down the road. You know if this business that I might join is going to fail in a year or two. You know if this relationship will end bad. So although I look at it, and I can see all the things, and I put it on paper, the difference between me and somebody who doesn't believe in Christ is the fact that I can hear the voice of my God directing me. When I was young and I wasn't following Jesus, I used to have a magic eight ball. And you would have a magic eight ball and you'd ask the magic eight ball a question. Should I date, you know, whatever? And you turn over the ball and it'd give you an answer, right? I don't know if you ever know this, right? And if you didn't like the answer, you just turned it over, shook it again. Now, maybe you didn't understand the question, because the question is, and you turn it over until you got the answer that you want. You can manipulate a magic eight ball. But we can't manipulate God. The believer gathers facts and then asks, God, what is your will for my life? So when we say stop, excuse me, start and continue, we have a privilege of allowing the Lord to guide us. So we consecrate our lives to him by listening to him, his voice, obeying his voice, and it may be in the area of health or finances or spirituality. One of the saddest things that I've heard is a theology called cessationism. It means that God quits speaking to his people. And what it means is anything that's spiritual gifts, healing, all these things stopped when the Bible was written and completed. And the concept is that everything that God needs to say to us was written in the Word. And I believe that God speaks us through the Word, but that all those things have stopped. And I heard a guy teaching about this once, and he used the illustration of the book of Acts with healing. He says, in the beginning of the book of Acts, you see God healing a lot of people through Peter and these guys. By the end of the book of Acts, there's no healings that are taking place. So his concept is, as the Bible was being written and all the things are starting to happen, God slowly phased out a spiritual gifts because it was only needed to sort of kickstart the church back in the days. So his concept was healing was phased out because now we have the Word of God and we don't need supernatural gifts anymore. And I was sitting next to somebody and we were listening to his teaching. I said, you know what? If he wanted to apply that, he could apply the same thing to salvation. Because on the day of Pentecost, 5,000 men were saved and families. And by the time you get to the end of the book of Acts, Philip is talking to one guy who gets saved. If you want to take that philosophy, that theology, and apply it, you wouldn't say that about salvation. It's just not true. It's a sad thing. Because God wrote the letter, it's not. It's a personal relationship that he has with us. That would not be a personal relationship if he just left us a letter. I call that a bunch of baloney. In the Greek, it's called balagna. But that's the Greek way to say it, right? Yeah. If you're in the hospital, right, and you're not doing well, and I say to you, here's a letter. I send somebody to give you a letter. Here's a link to my blogs and a link to my sermons. Hope it helps you out. That wouldn't be a personal relationship, right? You would want me to come, to be with you, to speak with you, to be in a relationship. I loved... Right before Shirley Elsass went to be with the Lord, the family called up and said, we would love to have you come over and talk to her. And it was great because they told me that really was her last sort of lucid day that she had. We had a conversation. She was speaking to me. We were talking about old times. And we probably talked for 2 hours. It was precious. And it was good for me just to speak into her life and say, you know what? You finished well. You finished very well. And I just want to say the Lord is pleased with you. and we pray together. That was a personal relationship. That's what we want from our friends. That's what we want from God. And I tell you what, God has that for you. And so when we look at 2018, I am praying and I'm hoping that the one thing you walk away from these sermons is that God is a God who communicates, and I should be listening to what he wants to say to my life. So we're going to look at scriptures, very familiar scriptures. John chapter 10, if you have your Bible, you can turn there. If not, the words will be on the screen. Somebody asked me first service what version of the Bible. Usually, unless I say it's not, it's the New International Version of the Bible that we'll be reading out of. Chapter 10, verse 1. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone does not enter the sheep bend by the gate, but climbs in some other way as the thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep, listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And you might have heard this reference before. What this is talking about is back in those days, and even today, the Bedouins, the shepherds will get together at nighttime, and they get all their flocks together. They put them in a pen to protect them. They'd sit by a fire. They would talk. They'd have their time. And in the morning, each shepherd would go up, open the gate, and call his sheep. And even though the sheep were intermixed with all the other ones, those sheep knew his voice, and they automatically came out to follow after him. No other sheep did. And Jesus is saying, I call my sheep because they know my voice. They listen and they come out. And that's the very thing. And he says, when he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, right? He's leading them, and his sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. And let me ask you a question. We drew this. Do you believe that Jesus is the good shepherd? Remembering this is the your response, do you believe that Jesus is the good shepherd? Yes. Amen. Are you following him? Yes, I hope so. You're a sheep. That's what the scripture says. And the sheep, what? Listen to his voice. The sheep know his voice. And the good shepherd always speaks to his sheep and goes ahead of them and leads them. You are made in the image of God. You're the only creation that was made in the image of God. And you were created to have communication intimately one to another, to share the depths of your heart. And you're the only creation that was created that way, very special by God. And he made you for that so he could have community and communion with you in a special place. And people will say, you know, they love animals. They go, well, I know animals communicate. Not like us. We're special. And I saw some special once, and this guy was sitting in this room, and he had his earphones, and then he unplugged it, and he was listening to whales. He's listening to whales all the time. You know, he's like, and they're doing this documentary, and they finally said, what's the whale saying? I'm lonely. That's the whale. I'm lonely. I'm like, dude, you're lonely. You need to get out of that. You need to get out of that room really fast and make some friends. You go, well, you don't understand. My dog and I communicate. Okay, here's something you should try, right? Go home today and walk up to your dog and say, who's ugly? Who's so ugly? And the dog will be wagging its tail. That's right. And you're stupid too. You're ugly and stupid. And the dog will get all excited, right? So the year of response. And so anyway, how cruel would it be for God to create you in a way that you could speak intimately and then never speak to you? So many followers speak to God as if he never listens and listen to him like he never speaks. And I feel sad for people like that because I believe that good shepherds lead their sheep. Look at the very famous passage. We're going to go to Psalm 23. This passage is usually primarily used for funerals, and it's a beautiful passage, and I understand why. But it really is a present tense scripture that David is writing. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Imagine if you got that right in 2018. He's my shepherd and I don't lack anything. He takes care of everything. If that's what you got right, if you looked around your life and said, the Lord is my shepherd and he provided my job and he provided my family and I lack nothing. Let's get that right. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. These are all interaction actions that God has with us leads me, refreshes me, guides me. And listen to this. Even though I walk through the darkest valleys, and I know when we're walking through the darkest valleys in this life, one of the things that many people say is, God's not speaking to me. I don't feel God. I feel like I'm out on an island. And why doesn't God speak to you? And that's why you think, well, some of us think that God doesn't speak to us because of mistakes we made in the past. I didn't listen to him. I didn't seek his advice. And I'm in this situation because I didn't listen to God, and therefore God has shut me out. You wouldn't do that to your children, would you? If your children made a mistake, and they picked the wrong path, and you told them so, and they came back to you and say, you know what, I made the wrong decision, you would be sitting there going, I'm not talking to you. You blew it. You should have known better. You know, you would speak to them and guide them. All of us would. I need guidance. I need help. It says here, in the darkest time, and it says, so some of us think we're just not worthy of it because of some nagging sin that just keeps us down, or that we're not of a status where God would speak to us. You know, we're not Pastor Lloyd, or we're not one of the leaders. And listen to this, while you're in the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for why? You're with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And sometimes through discipline and sometimes through guidance, God, you comfort me. And I love this part. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Let me tell you what God is doing when you're in the darkest valley. He's preparing ahead of time a victory feast for you. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell someday in the house of the Lord forever. That's present tense. He's a good shepherd. Don't you agree? He's a really good shepherd. Not only that, he's a good friend. He's a great friend. John chapter 15, this is when Jesus is about to leave, and he speaks to them, verses 13 through 15. I'm going to read that to you. He speaks to his disciples. It's one of his last gatherings where he really teaches them. He says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his own friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. In other words, I have told you everything that's going on. You know my father's business, so you're not a servant, you're my friend. Because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I've learned from my father, I have made known to you. And there's some of these that look at this and they say, well, you know, this is the ending of his life there with these people. He's telling them this is all past tense, that everything I've known, I've made known to you. Therefore, everything's complete. I would disagree with you, and I'm going to tell you why. Chapter 16, verses 12 and 13, he says this to them, I have much more to say to you. More than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will actively, if I can put that in there, guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. And he says, yes, you've heard everything I know about the Father. I've taught you everything, but I have a lot more to tell you. And I'm going to leave, but I'm not going to leave you alone, because I'm going to spend the Spirit of truth who will live you. And at the right time, at the right place, he will guide you into all truth. See, he doesn't leave us behind. He's a great friend. Great friends have no secrets. They communicate. Great friends are honest and open. Great friends do not withhold information. Great friends help you make decisions. Tell you who to date, who not to date. Because they know you so well. That's a great friend. And do you believe that God is a great friend? In this new year, my prayer is this. You know, with all the noise that's going on, and all the people that want to interject in your life, and all the things you think you need to do or not to do, you would take a moment and you would listen to the good shepherd who wants to guide you in paths of righteousness. You would take a moment and listen to the good friend and hear his voice. Because sometimes saying yes to great means saying no to good. And he wants great. So what is it, God, right now in this year that you want me to stop, you want me to start, and what is it you want me to continue? Speak to me. So that is what I ask. I'm hoping that in the next year our church will take another level of what it means to hear from God in our lives. Not depending upon other people, not even depending upon the sermons, but we live a life where we're hearing the voice of God. So I'm going to ask you to do this. Stop. Stop believing the lie that God no longer speaks to you. because of your mess, because of your sin, because you're not qualified. That's a lie. And if the enemy can get you to believe the lie that God no longer speaks through you, he's won every battle. It's a lie. God desires to speak and communicate with you. So stop that. Stop believing the lie that he doesn't speak to you. Start asking his opinion. What if you took a moment on every decision and say, God, what do you think about this? Maybe it's on the drive into work and the drive back. You have that 30-minute commute. You just turn off the radio. Maybe you turn on some worship music. And you start to talk to God and say, here are the things that are happening in my life. Do you have an opinion on this? What do you think? And allow him to speak to your heart about that. And you'll get a peace about it. We're going to talk about in the next few weeks how to hear from God, giving you all kinds of tools. But first, we need to make just a commitment that that's what we're going to do. So start asking his opinion and then continue in obedience to what he says. Stop believing the lie that God no longer speaks. Start asking his opinion and continue following and obeying what he has to say for you. I have a passion to see people hear the voice of God and to respond accordingly. That is what will change your future in your life, that when you hear his voice and respond accordingly, you'll walk in his paths. Because he's a good shepherd and he's a good friend. I'd like to pray for you if you would stand and the worship team would come forward. I'm excited about the next couple of weeks. We're going to talk about really about hearing God for this year and for your future. And Jesus at times says this in the scriptures. He was talking to the people this time. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is speaking. So let's take a few moments of prayer. Will you with me? And I want to say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is speaking. Spiritual ears to hear exactly where he's guiding and directing us. So Lord, we commit our way to you because you're a good shepherd. You'll never lead us astray. I believe that with all my heart. And you're a great friend. Your advice is always good and pure. It's always meant for our good. So we choose right now to follow you and to listen to you. Give us ears to hear what you're saying. Give us a dedication to know your will and to do your will. We commit our lives to you. Show us this year how we can best honor you in the areas that you've asked us to do that. We commit our lives and our hearts to you, and we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me tell you one more thing, too. Every week we do this on purpose. There are people that are up here during our prayer time who really hear from God. And if you ever have a thing, you say, I'm a little confused on this one. I need somebody to join with me. You come forward to prayer, and these people will hear from God with you and speak into your life. So don't let those opportunities pass by. Take a moment, come forward during the song or after the song, and have somebody agree with you in prayer.
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.